What's going on, everyone, and welcome back to Double M Live. Man, it feels so good. It feels so good to be here right now. You see this, you always see smiles on our faces, but tonight there's a bigger smile. You know, we are at the eve, Mike Nice. We are at the eve of the NBA Finals. This is Marvin Zun. I'm with Mr. Mike Nice.
Eve, like you said, we're recording this now on Wednesday night. By the time a lot of you might check this out, it's going to be the day, game one of 2022 NBA Finals between the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. Who would have thought that we'd be here, Marv?
No. This is we've done a couple shows this year where we, for lack of better words, talked a lot of shit about the Celtics and how poorly they played. And to see it come full circle and see this team really show its resiliency and the playoff path that they took to get here to the NBA Finals, it's a beautiful story, man. It's a beautiful story. But it's not going to be us two talking about this, just us, you know. We have to get some heavy hitters when we're talking about Finals basketball.
Yeah. So, like Marv said, we couldn't have done this show without bringing in a heavy hitter. And a heavy hitter is exactly who we have. This man is a Celtics content producer with NBC Sports Boston. And he also has some great takes on Twitter that I love seeing him, you know, tweet about, whether it be about sports or thing going on and just the world and life in general. I couldn't wait to have him on the show. Please welcome our special guest tonight, Max Letterman from NBC Sports Boston. Max, what's going on?
What's up, guys? I don't appreciate the fat jokes, though, calling me heavy right before this. But I just want you to know, man, I'm losing some weight, all right? I'm getting ready for my summer bod.
You look good, Max. You look good, baby.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm pumped to be here, guys.
I know the excitement is hitting all of us because, you know, like Marv talked about earlier, you went from the beginning of the season to how the Celtics started off in their performance, and you fast forward here to June 1st. Finals game one will be June 2nd. But what a turnaround. Have you ever seen a season like this before, Max? I mean, I think back to Celtics in, 2010 maybe, when they had that turnaround in the playoffs. There's never been a season like this, maybe not for the Celtics and just in recent NBA history.
No, I don't think there's ever been a team that finished where they did or that's like halfway through the season had a losing record or whatever the cutoff point was. Somewhere in January they had they were two games under 500, and then to go on to advance to the finals, I'm pretty sure they're the first. It's wild. It's crazy. Like, I had low expectations coming into the season. Just like, I thought that they, best case scenario, would, you know, be in the regular playoffs and not the play-in. And then right in December, I was like, burn it all down, you know, keep the Jays, keep Marcus, trade everyone else. I keep Time Lord, but like, this is about, you know, this is a gap year. We're getting ready for next season. They're not going to win anything this year. They just don't waste assets trying to be buyers at the deadline. And they proved me wrong. Boy, did they ever. And it's amazing. It's incredible. It's you guys are talking about the story. The stories, just, they're juicy. They're so amazing. It's why I love sports, is the narratives, the storylines, just the come from the, you know, they're in the depths of hell, and then they've somehow reached the pinnacle, the top of the mountain, are almost there, and they got to go up against the Warriors, the dynasty, another homegrown dynasty, which the Celtics are trying to become now. And I saw a great tweet today. I can't remember who it was from, but they talked about the similarities between Jordan and Pippen when they won their first championship. They had 12 playoff series together. They were 8-3. Jaylen and Tatum have had 12 playoff series together. They're 8-3, going up against a Warriors team who's been to 6 of the last 8 finals, winning 3, which is what the Lakers did. Apparently, according to that tweet, I thought the Lakers won more, but either way, or the Lakers won more, but it was earlier than the 8-year period. Either way, it's incredible. The stories, the narratives, the, you know, the revenge tour in the playoffs going through the last three guys that beat you. Oh,
yeah, that's so awesome. Good.
It's
awesome.
Literally why I love sports.
We can reminisce about, you know, how crazy this year has been, but I want to just dive right in. Let's not waste any time. Let's talk about this finals matchup. Max, you tweeted just like a little over an hour ago that Marcus Smart is no longer on the injury report and Rob Williams is questionable. I want to start off right now just talking about Rob. Personally, for me, I don't think Rob is going to be a huge factor in this series. Just from seeing what I saw last series against the Miami Heat, him being limited injury wise, you know, he was huge when it comes against Bam and Jimmy Butler, guys who work inside. Now you're talking about Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, who are perimeter players who are going to take Rob Williams out of the paint, and him being mobility being limited. I think he's going to struggle in this series. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Rob Williams throughout this series, to be honest. What do you say about that?
Well, it's interesting. We'll see. I think, you know, he's been listed questionable since the game he missed in game three versus Miami. He's been questionable every other game. Seven was the first game where he looked bad, where he looked like I would rather see Tice, which is gross. You know, yeah. I'll have a Tice poster behind me. So, you know, and I like Daniel Tice. He's a great, you know, great pickup, you know, good filling guy. But, you know, that wasn't the game for him. But I was pining for Daniel Tice because of how bad Rob looked in game seven. But he's been able to, when he's been out there prior to seven, he was good and he was effective. But it's a good point that you make about how the Warriors play. It's a very different style, but they're still really good at, you know, Steph and Klay can get to the basket, and so can Jordan Poole. So I think having him there as a deterrent and having him kind of play free safety, if he's able to, I think would definitely help, and just a nice option to have, you know, depending on what the Warriors do with their lineups. So I, you know, there's some thought that maybe you don't play him in game one, give him the extra 3 days rest. You know, these games are so spaced out now that it really could matter. But I think if he's you just got to get one of these games in Oakland, so, or San Francisco, you got to get one of these games out there, because, you know, you can't, I mean, look, anything's possible. You know, the Celtics, they don't lose. They have not lost back-to-back games with Jason Tatum in the lineup since January. That's 6 months ago. Jeez. So, I mean, it's outrageous how good they are at bouncing back from losses. So if you win game one, you're going to win the championship in six. So, so maybe it's all hands on deck for game one. And then maybe if Rob still sore, still hobbled, you sit him out game two, but you just got to get a win. So if he's going to help in that regard, do it.
This is Double M Live, brought to you by Bet Online AG. We are here with Max Letterman.
You brought up some good points. Both of you actually, you know, thinking about Rob's a factor, and then Max talked about Tatum not losing back-to-back games since he's been in the lineup since January. That's a wild stat to talk about. But I want to shift things over to the Golden State side a little bit. This is a team, you know, since winning their first championship in, I believe, 2015, you know, aside from the last 2 years dealing with a lot of injuries, you know, Klay and a little bit of Curry out, and lost KD a couple years before that, get into KD and Klay. But for the most part, people know the Warriors is probably one of the most dominant teams in the NBA when fully healthy. And obviously, you go from 2015 when their young core of Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green won their first championship. You fast forward here to 2022. You know, while they're still yet again here at, you know, the top in the finals coming out of the West, they're an older bunch. They do have, you know, Wiggins, who's, you know, been in the league a couple of years now. Jordan Poole has really started to emerge, but the core guys, they're still playing at a pretty high level, but they're not spring chickens as they once were when they first were winning some championships back to back in those early championship years. How do you feel the Celtics match up against this team that, you know, once kind of really dominated the NBA, but are not maybe the same exact team that they once were before running through the league like they were? I remember watching games in those early years, and the Warriors would just run through teams, whether it be during the regular season and going through the playoffs, making it to the finals against the Cavs. How do you feel the Celtics really match up against this team that's been one of the most dominant teams in the NBA?
Look, the Celtics match up good. They've always played them. They're the only team with a winning record in the NBA the last 7 years versus the Warriors. That's insane. The only team that has won more than five, like the next best team, I think, is Milwaukee with, you know, like a four something record, you know, four something, 400 something win percentage. The Celtics are like 648. It's incredible. I mean, it's different because it's a 7-game series and those are two spread out games over the regular season, but they've always played the Warriors well during this championship run of theirs. And I think a lot of it has to do with Marcus, just, you know, really being one of the better defenders on Steph Curry. And just the always having long wings, you know, Tatum and Brown, guys that can just run and defend their butts off. And so, you know, I do think the Celtics match up well. The Warriors, they're really good. They're going to be the best team the Celtics have faced, you know, by far this postseason. And the Celtics are going to be the best team that the Warriors have faced by far this postseason. But it's just going to be, it's going to be a shock. Like going from Brooklyn to Milwaukee, the Celtics, I think, were a little taken aback and they lost game one. You know, Giannis just came out and the Bucks kind of just said, hey, this ain't going to be easy. It's not, we're not Brooklyn. We actually defend and have a whole team, even with one of our stars out. And then it was just kind of like a bit of a change up in game one versus Miami as well, where, you know, they're, you know, kind of primed to play the Bucks and then you move on and it's the Heat and you don't have a ton of time to prepare. And they got a little shock there. So hopefully these extra couple of days between when they won game seven and when game one is gives them more time to prep. So it's not a jarring shock, but I mean, the Warriors are going to move at a much faster pace than any of the teams they played. They'd never stop. And the little lulls that the Celtics have where, I mean, they almost had the worst loss in sports history on Sunday because they just were playing so hard not to lose instead of just trying to win. And look, you do that against the Warriors, that three goes in that Jimmy Butler took. And you have those lapses like you know, like they had in game five versus Milwaukee where they blew that lead. Like, you're going to get demoralized. The Warriors don't mess around. So don't play with your food. The Celtics will be punished if they don't, you know, take care of business. And you just got to lock in. You got to focus. And that's the one thing that can get them is just taking their foot off the gas for just like if you miss a shot or make a bad play, whatever, but you can't slow down. You can't kind of ease up like they have had the tendency to do just a couple times this postseason because the Warriors will punish you.
Yeah. Just to follow up with that really quickly, the Celtics definitely had a lot of time in this postseason. I think it definitely was highlighted a lot in that Miami series where I think a lot of fans would say, if this was any other team, you'd get blown out, or this team would come back and kill you. And obviously Miami didn't have the firepower. It was really just Giannis against, you know, in that Milwaukee series. But they make those same mistakes, like you said, Max, against a team like the Golden State Warriors. It's going to get ugly pretty fast, but I'll swing it at you, Marv.
Once again, this is Double M Live brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source of all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this is basketball, playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NLF futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports and wagering needs, including live betting and, of course, your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's really easy to get started, so head to the website today and use your mobile device to sign up today and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. I want to do a quick roundtable on who do we believe on the Celtics are factors, who is the X factor for this series. It's obviously a very popular question going on here. You have the Jays, you brought up Marcus Smart, Max, but I want to hear who do you believe is like the key for the Celtics to become victorious in this series, and then to you, Mike, and I'll close that off.
Man, I think it could be someone like Derek White or Grant Williams. Like, I really do think that Derek White
He's due.
Yeah, he's since having his baby. I mean, he's got that dad strength. You know, it changes your life. You know, I have two, and they, you know, it really puts things in perspective. It makes you maybe not be too worried about missing a shot and kind of just go play. Go out there and live your life because there's just there's bigger things. And I also think he was pressing a little bit because he's like, you know, I might have to miss a game in the playoffs, you know, because this kid's on the way. And once that was out of the way, and, you know, he brought this bundle of joy into the world, he's been balling. And he's been crucial for them, really. I mean, having great game after great game. So if he can keep that up, he could really, because, you know, they're going to need all the help they can get on offense and on defense. And his ability to kind of run around screens, and even if he gets, you know, knocked back a little bit, he's got long arms, he's athletic, he can, you know, contest in almost in like a Matisse Thybulle type way, where, you know, not to that psycho extreme where Thybulle's like the most freakish defender I've ever seen. But, you know, he's got a little bit of those tendencies where even if he gets beat, he can recover and block a shot from behind. You know, that's not easy against the Warriors. If it's Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, good luck. But maybe for some of the other guys. So for the Celtics, I would say it's a Derek White, someone off the bench like that, who can, you know, be a jack of all trades. And for honestly, for the Warriors, or for the Celtics to worry about for the Warriors, I think Andrew Wiggins is a big X factor for me, because the way he was able to, you know, he didn't really shut down Luka, but he took that assignment on and really took pride in trying to just make everything super difficult for Luka last round. You know, that's something they can unleash. And I don't think they've faced a defender, or at least Tatum hasn't faced a defender like that this round, this run, because, you know, Giannis wasn't really matched up on him at all. And nobody on the Heat could really do what Wiggins was able to do. He's super athletic, and God, it would just suck to have him do well offensively versus you. That's got to be like a little demoralizing, like, ah, man, aren't you a bust? And you're hitting that guy. Yeah. So dunking too. I mean, if you could put someone on a poster, that's not going to feel good. So I think he could be a little sneaky under the radar X factor, because nobody really talks about him at all. And it's understandable because Wiggins, the Warriors are so good, but.
Yeah, Wiggins, I'm really looking at Wiggins at this series. Just the fact when they use him at the four, when they go small, they use him at the four, there's so much they can do with Wiggins, because obviously your attention is running around chasing Steph and Clay, Poole's getting busy, and then Wiggins is there by himself, and if he gets a Horford or a Grant on isolation, he can do a little damage. So I'm actually going to be looking out for Wiggins too, because he can be really key for this series.
Yeah, I hear that for sure. For the Celtics, I think the biggest X factor for them, you know, this might be an easy one, but I got to say it, Jaylen Brown. If we look back at the Miami series, he definitely had some games where scoring-wise, he put up some solid numbers. But we all know, if you watch those games very closely, it got into his head a lot of the times and a lot of the games where he was not able to take care of the ball. Now, obviously, you're not dealing with the same type of defense in the Golden State Warriors like you were dealing with Miami Heat. But those mistakes that Jaylen Brown made in that series, like I just said earlier, if you're making those against Golden State, they're getting back in transition and dropping a three right on your heads a lot of the times. So I think Jaylen Brown, and obviously, again, a lot of the spotlight is going to be on Tatum. You hear it all the time with different guys talking about the series. You know, Jaylen Brown's a great player, but, you know, Tatum's the guy that's the superstar. Tatum's the guy that, you know, that's usually how the conversation goes. And I think while Tatum will and should perform like a superstar that some people view him as, you know, Jaylen Brown has to be right there performing right next to him at, you know, almost the same level. And on top of that, taking care of the ball is huge, because a lot of those turnovers that killed you in previous series, I mean, luckily you were able to prevail and defeat the Miami Heat, but some of those turnovers, those games can get very ugly, like I've said before. So for the Celtics, I definitely say Jaylen Brown. And on the opposite side of things for the Golden State Warriors, Jordan Poole is a guy who can come off the bench and get busy. Obviously, you know, we've seen spurts of him getting the chance to really shine when you had Clay out and you had a stretch of time where Steph was out. You saw him get his time and opportunity to really, you know, shine. But, you know, even with Steph and Clay healthy, he's out there still doing what he does, maybe in limited minutes, but he's still able to, you know, make big plays, hit big shots. And the guy that the Celtics have to worry about on their end. I mean, you would hope that Derek White can match Jordan Poole's energy. And that may be asking a lot of Derek White. You know, he's not that type of player who's going to come in and just hit crazy buckets like Jordan Poole would. But I think Jordan Poole is definitely a guy that you have to watch for in terms of another guy who can, you know, quickly change the pace of a game with big shots and big threes, similar to what Clay and Steph can do. So Jordan Poole is someone that the Celtics have to worry about as an X factor on the Warriors end of things. So what you got for us, Marv?
You bring up just quickly, speaking on JB, Mike's laughing. You already know where I'm going with this. The turnovers. Mm-hmm. Is going to have to be limited when this is a team with Golden State. See, Miami was offensively limited. So you turn the ball over, you were still able to come back with them. This is a team, if you have three possessions in a row, you turn the ball over, it's a daunting task. They're going to hit up threes. The place is going to go crazy. It's daunting. Miami had no damn fans, bro. I heard myself in the arena there. They had no fans. This is a different beast we're going into here. Turnovers are going to be huge from Tatum and Brown. I believe Tatum leads to all players in the playoffs right now with the most turnovers. So JB limiting the turnovers. I felt like Eric Spoelstra in the locker room just started telling guys, swipe at him every time he drives to the basket. And it was starting to get really frustrating. He adjusted late in game 6 and game 7, but definitely.
Yeah, that's a great point, though. The adjustment, we got to point that out too, because that to me was huge to see in game 7, especially where he did a little bit of the hezzy in the lane there, instead of just attacking like he was. So, but yeah, guys, that was maddening. Game 6, 4 turnovers in the first quarter. Oh, brutal.
Yo, Mike and I just look at each other after already complaining about it through previous years, it looked like a gimmick.
It started like getting real comical. Like, you did it again? Wait, this is a back-to-back possession?
Are we on a hidden camera TV show here? Are we getting punked exactly right now? Is how really it happening?
Exactly how it
looks. It was unbelievable. Credit to Jaylen, man. He doesn't get too high or too low in these moments. He doesn't get too frustrated. Maybe you want him to get a little more frustrated when he has those type of turnovers, but he's even kill and he regroups. So big shout out to JB. My X factor is going to be the guy I told you, Mike, he should never have to pay anything when he comes to Boston. Al Horford. If he goes to a bar or restaurant, he's good in Boston's eye. He might, if he wants a chip, he might damn near get himself in the rafters. That's how much of a favorite he's become out here.
Hold on, Mark.
I'm just saying, it's possible.
Look, it's not possible. Outrageous because they do retire every number. So
they retire everyone. It's possible.
He might get a street named after him or something in the rafters, though.
You look at his numbers, and they put everyone in the Hall of Fame. Anyway, Al Horford is the X factor to me in this series. I was reading this set the other day where he was picked on the most in isolations and tested the most in isolations in the NBA. And, you know, Al Horford, knowing him, he moves his feet well. He's great in the perimeter. And like I was talking about Rob Williams, how they're going to test the perimeter. That's going to be the same thing with Al Horford. The difference is Steph Curry is a different beast. It don't matter who you are. He's going to turn some heads around when he's playing against the center. He's going to test Al Horford out there in the perimeter. And if he can hold his own defensively and knock down a couple of threes consistently throughout this series, I think the Celtics are going to be okay because you're going to need him to be on the floor. Grant, I'm not worried about Grant being out there in the perimeter. I think Grant is going to hold his own. I would love to see how Horford plays. If he can hold his own defensively in the perimeter, run away, because they're going to be times where they're going to do switches. They're going to want Horford on them. They're going to want Rob. Let's see how he holds up there. That's my X factor. And on the opposite side, Klay Thompson. It's looking like he's getting rejuvenated now. He's got his legs underneath him. Defensively, he's not the same player. And I think that the Celtics need to do themselves a favor and attack Klay as well, as they're going to be hunting down Jordan Poole. But Klay Thompson, if he gets hot, it's tough. That team's just tough to beat, man. When Klay gets tough, like, we got to lock his ass up during game 6. We already know about game 6 Klay. So it's going to be tough if Klay Thompson gets hot. I think that's someone Celtics really got to look out for. But those are my X factors.
I mean, you can really look at a lot of different guys in the series on both sides. You can make valid
points. This makes it an exciting series because there's so many players.
I think this is going to be the most exciting series we see, you know, from this whole playoffs run in the NBA. I think this series
better than Celtics-Bucks. Celtics-Bucks was wild,
but I think this Golden State Celtics matchup is going to be the most exciting one we see. But I want to follow up the next question that we have here, because you both kind of alluded to this question for sure with your responses. Who do the Celtics close the game out with? Now, the Warriors have their death lineup, which I believe is Curry, Poole, Klay, Wiggins, Draymond. And I know Marv and I kind of went back and forth when we had this discussion early on, how do the Celtics combat that? And before, you know, we talk about who we thought of, we definitely want to hear, who do you think the Celtics should combat their death lineup with, Max, on, you know, when it comes down to late in the fourth quarter and the Warriors go to their guys, who do the Celtics put on the floor to combat that?
I want Derek White out there. I definitely want Derek White out there. And, you know, just use the starters, take Rob out for Derek White. Just because he's, you know, he's a ball mover. He's a smart decision maker. He's a defender. He's making shots now. And I just don't think you have to worry about him. And, you know, Al, I think I heard Zach Lowe say, like, the Celtics have an absurd net rating when Al's the only big out there this postseason. Like, just they're great. They're great. So, you know, we know Al can hold his own and he can stretch the floor. And that's in theory, five shooters. So, you know, and it's not like the Draymond theory where Draymond, yeah, he'll shoot him, but really probably don't need to guard him as a shooter. So
are we calling Derek White a shooter?
Maybe they won't guard him that way, but, you know, he's starting to make the shots now. And look, he'll take them too. And that, to me, I've always been, you know, I'm a Sixers fan, so, you know, I'm tainted and jaded because of Ben Simmons, but it's like, just shoot. There's value in the attempt. All right. Make them think, you know, these guys have been taught their entire lives, you know, go contest that shot. And even if the coach tells you, don't worry about him, that split second where your human nature comes up and it's like, oh, he's shooting, you know, even though before the scouting report kicks in, you know, there's value there. So he was making shots. I think he's found his stroke. I believe he's been a streaky shooter, you know, for a lot of his career. Hope he gets a hot streak and hope they have to guard him. But I would put Derek White in there. I'm interested to see what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean, I text Mike this because Mike asked me this a couple days ago, and I have Derek White there as well. Defensively, I can't wait to see Smart and White just like chase down these shooters. It's going to be like really exciting to see how they do it. So I have Smart, White, Brown, Tatum, and you had Horford. I had Grant. I could see Grant combating with that their small five with Draymond, you know, leaking out and such. I would like to see Grant out there as well. Horford, I wouldn't mind seeing there, but I think Grant's gonna have a big series against this Warriors team.
You just said Horford was gonna be your X factor. You're gonna retire his jersey, build a statue for him next to Bill Russell, and you're not even gonna have him in the closing lineup.
Thank you, Max.
But the way Mike phrased it is to combat the death lineup.
I get it. I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, we'll see. I'm sure that'll happen at some point. Lineup.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I see the arguments for having Grant. I see the arguments for having Horford. I definitely agree White needs to be out there. But something in me just leans towards Horford and just what he can add to the game, and it's a little bit more than what I understand. Switching wise, you probably want Grant switching more than you want Horford, because Grant seems like a guy who could definitely, you know, guard 1 through 5. But Horford can hold his own defensively for the most part. He's definitely a better shooter than Grant, in my opinion. And on top of that, when you hit those fast breaks, sometimes it's Horford leading the pack. Grant's never and should never ever lead a fast break off a rebound. But we've seen plenty of times Horford grabs that rebound and he's taking off down the court and he's setting things up for other people, or sometimes he's taking things in his own hands and finishing at the basket or getting fouled. So I understand why having Green out there for the switching purposes, but at the same time, I feel as if Horford can just add a little bit more to the game with what he can do in his skill set. I really don't honestly think there's a wrong answer here. But I would lead towards having Al out there if that's Tice, me. Because
Tice is the wrong answer.
No, there won't be any Tice this series. I can tell you that right now.
We already said you won't. You possibly don't need to rely on Rob too much in the series because, I mean, who's he going up against? Looney? I don't think the Celtics are really worried about Kevon Looney.
Who's played well, though? He's played well these playoffs. And Celtics have shown that they're just an average rebounding team. They're an average rebounding team. And somehow, some way, Warriors have become a really good offensive rebounding team, and that's going to hurt.
Yeah, I mean, if you look through all the series the Celtics been to, you have to deal with Drummond, then you have to deal with Brook Lopez, then you have to deal with Bam. I would say Looney is probably the worst of those centers, in my opinion. So, I mean, a lot of attention doesn't have to be given towards him. But, you know, obviously crashing the boards is huge. And, I mean, Looney has one job out there is to really kind of defend the paint and crash the boards. I think if you, again, putting these two lineups against each other, not a lot of attention has to be paid towards Draymond. So that maybe takes some pressure off of Horford. But, you know, I'm rolling with Horford out there in the death lineup or the closing lineup, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be some great basketball to watch. I know that for sure. Whoever they choose on the Celtics side, it's going to be some solid basketball to watch. Let's get into the final question here. And I've gone back and forth with this, talking to people all day about our series predictions here. You have the young Celtics team who, you know, none of them have any finals experience. You know, they've always been on the cusp of making the finals, but they never got through and crossed over into the big matchup. And then the Warriors come with their wealth of experience from their head coach to their, you know, their big three. Some people don't think the Celtics stand a chance because the Warriors just have all the experience in the world. They know what it takes to get here. They know what it takes to win it. And then on the other side, you got people are saying, look, it's the Celtics' time. You know, their turnaround has been amazing. One of the best defensive teams in the league. It's Tatum's time. It's Brown's time. I've seen arguments for a lot of different things. 5 games, 6 games, 7 games, Celtics. Here we are right here on Double M. Max, let's call it out. As you just said, you're a Philly fan, so, you know, it doesn't really matter to you. You don't – it's not tugging on your heartstrings like it might.
Oh, it is. It is. I will be honest, though. It is – it feels like house money to me right now. I wanted them so desperately to just get past Miami. I was like, just make it to the finals. I'm so sick of hearing that they can't play together. They can't get over the hump. I just didn't want that summer of the narratives of that drama. And I was like, just do it. Just get there. And I want them absolutely to win. But the stakes, you know, well, again, like to me, it's always like just I want the Celtics to win as many games as possible because it extends the season. I love basketball and I want them to keep playing. They've done it. They're going to play the last game of the season. And that's great. And it's going to be a win on the Garden floor. Game 6, Celtics in 6. I think if they win tomorrow night in game 1, boy, that I feel much better about that prediction. I mean, I'm wish casting a little bit here. The Warriors, you know, are so good. And, you know, I could see a Warriors gentleman sweep, but I'm picking Celtics in 6. I think, you know, the teams match up well. For some reason, the Celtics have always played well against this team.
Always.
And you just never know what can happen. I think the Celtics have the right mindset. I think Ime is just an incredible leader, incredible coach. He's got the experience. He really does. That Spurs, you know, the Spurs blowing it to the Heat on the Ray Allen shot in 13, then coming back and just the beautiful basketball in 14. It's just, he knows. He knows what it takes, you know, and they've been saying the exact same thing for 6 months. We've got bigger goals here than regular season wins. We're not done. We're not finished. Even when they were spraying water all over each other, Ime saying to them, look, we don't hang banners for Eastern Conference Finals. You know, there's no Eastern Conference championship banners up there. We've got bigger fish to fry, and I think we're going to fry them in six.
Marv, how you feeling?
I've been struggling with this one. After game six of the Heat series, I was sick. I was distraught. And I knew we were going to win game seven. Like, I had no doubt in my mind. So I just kept telling myself, oh, we're not beating the Warriors. This team cannot beat the Warriors the way they just collapsed in game six against the Miami Heat. The mental lapses, the turnovers, it was driving me crazy. Game seven happened against the Heat. We're up 13. I said, okay, this is how you bounce back. Then the last 5 minutes of the Heat happened. Jimmy Butler shot that ball, and it looked good. It looked so good, and I said, wow, this is how this story ends. Luckily, it missed, and the Celtics survive, and they move on. I've been having a hard time erasing the mistakes that the Celtics have made. But somehow, some way, after every collapse that they've made throughout the playoffs, they bounce back, and they bounce back like nothing ever happened. Like, that loss just didn't exist. Tatum can have a horrible game. And we're talking about, what is wrong with this? The next game, it's guaranteed he's dropping 30 with 10 assists. So the resiliency of this team and how they just really have short-term memory. You always talk about short-term memory with quarterbacks, and if you throw that interception short-term, this Celtics team really has short-term memory. And I just feel like they can't beat Durant, Giannis, the number one seed, and just fall out to Golden State. They were destined for this. And I have they have to win game one. I think they really need to win game one. Celtics in six. But I'm banking on them winning game one.
So if they don't win game one.
Warriors in five.
anyone who says Celtics or Warriors in seven, anytime you say any series in seven, that pretty much means you don't know.
It's a cop out. It's a toss up. Yeah. Yeah. Just say that you're not sure, and that's fine. I mean, yeah, no one's going to come to your house.
That's why I never
break your legs if you get it wrong.
You're not really having a hot take by saying, oh, Celtics in seven, Warriors in seven. You're just pretty much telling us you don't know who, and you're just picking a team you like.
Mike's going to be like, Warriors in seven.
No, I mean, the last thing piece that Marv just said there is huge for me. If you look at this playoffs run for the Celtics, short-term memory is huge. Like, they screw up one game. Tatum is ice cold, and they bounce back like nothing ever was wrong. We're fine. We got this next win easy. And, you know, it's the reason why they haven't lost back-to-back games, because I think that short-term memory thing is huge. You got through the Brooklyn Nets, who people didn't even have you coming out of that series. People thought KD and Kyrie would have swept you. You got them in a sweep. You go through the defending champions, and I don't care that Chris Middleton didn't play. Sure, but it's still the defending champions. It's still arguably the best player in the game today in Giannis. You made it through them. Then you got through the number one seeded Miami Heat. Yeah, they were somewhat hobbled, but, you know, for the most part, their guys were out there playing. Other than Hero, which I get it, sixth man of the year, second leading scorer on the team, but he was out there, and you managed to get through them. You got through some juggernauts, and I get it. Golden State might be, you know, it's the final boss of the video game. Golden State might be the final boss, you know, maybe getting older, but still got it. That's the final boss, still got it. I have the Celtics winning in six, but I tell you, and it's probably the easy. If they don't win game six, don't ask me what's going to happen in game seven. I'll tell you what's going to happen in game seven. Steph Curry is going to hoist up his fourth championship. And that's just how the story will end. That's just how the story. Celtics win in six, but if they happen to lose that sixth game, don't ask me what I think is going to – I don't want people at work, walking down the street, texting my phone, tweeting, nothing. Don't ask me, Celtics got to win game six. Celtics need to win the series in six. They have to. They cannot go back to Chase Arena and play Steph Curry and those Warriors in a seventh game. I get it. You know, they win their back-to-back games. They always bounce back. Tatum, they're starting to bounce back. This is a different beast than the Miami Heat, the one-man show Milwaukee Bucks, and the dysfunctional Brooklyn Nets. This is a different beast that you're going up against. But I do have the Celtics winning in six games as well. I hope that's the outcome. It would be amazing to see the Celtics hoist up number 18 in Boston. But
get ahead of those, like I said, Lakers.
Yeah, we got to get that one up.
Fraudulent. Got to get fraudulent one up over the Lakers. Asterisks. Yo, the NBA media guide for the playoffs has asterisks next to the Lakers championship. I'm not making that up. Wow. It's a real asterisk because it was played in Disney World. So get out of here, Lakers.
I can't do that though, because we wanted it just as bad in the bubble when the Celtics
and it wouldn't have had an asterisk if the Celtics won.
I stopped having the bubble argument with people because people say, oh, the Lakers has an asterisk. And they'd be like, well, what if the Celtics won? How would you feel? Then I'm like,
we would change the narrative, Mike, because we're not objective. Pick our sides and we run with that narrative. And if the Celtics or Sixers had won the bubble championship, it would be a completely valid one. But since the Lakers did, it's nonsense.
Oh, I would have celebrated. Really, I would have celebrated, like, you know,
virtually because it was a pandemic.
True, but yeah, I remove myself out of that bubbles conversation. But yeah, gentlemen, we're here.
It's crazy, here. Man.
So NBA crazy. Finals, Celtics Warriors, Game One. Thursday night, 9 o'clock here on the East Coast for people who work it that next day. That's a late start. I know for me personally, that's a really late start. It's going to be a late night, but I tell you what, I'm going to watch every second of the game. I don't care.
And every second of the pregame coverage, right?
7 o'clock. Oh, all of it. I'm soaking it all in.
Where can we find you, Max?
Tell them. Let the people know, Max.
Well, you can find me on Twitter, Max_Letterman. And then, we have a pregame. We have two pregame shows, Celtics post up, and then the regular pregame show. But you're not allowed to have. You can't go up against their ABC's pregame show. So we have, you know, there's a half an hour buffer. So we start at 7 and go for an hour and a half, and then there's a 30-minute buffer for that, and then all the postgame stuff. So, you know, if you like, you know, Eddie House has been great. You know, Scal, yes. You know, Amina Smith, good to see Abby Eddie. Chin. We got Tom Childs, Chris Forsberg, a bunch of people, and, you know, getting after it again. Late night.
Wow, man.
Can't wait. You guys do some beautiful work there over there at NBC Sports Boston. I'm sure everybody will be tuned in for all the coverage. You heard it here from Max. Check them out with all their coverage of the NBA Finals and everything Celtics. Marv, let's home, my brother.
I lost you. What would you just say?
I said it's on you, my brother. Take us home. Take us to the promised land with the show.
This is Double M Live, brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We have a special guest tonight. We had Max Letterman from NBC Sports Boston. That's Mike Nice. Celtics are to the finals, and there's no way in hell I thought I was going to be saying that in February. But we here. We'll talk to you guys very soon while we continue to cover the Celtics throughout this finals run. We are out of here. Double M to the moon.
Appreciate you, Max.